Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today we're in the book of Malachi with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and get the Malachi study guide to help you dig deeper. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, welcome back to our study in the book of Malachi, and we are on to our last day in the book of Malachi today, day 7. We'll be in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I've titled this study, The Day of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Malachi chapter 4, starting in verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Okay, so Malachi ends with a warning and a promise. The final day is coming. And for those who are against the Lord, that final day will be one that will be horrible. For those who are for God, that final day will be one of rejoicing. Now here we see a very familiar description of what awaits evildoers on the final day. Fire. Literal or not, hell won't be fun. Eternal torment is just that. Eternal and torment. And the destruction on that day will be complete. Evildoers will not put God to the test and escape. While evildoers may escape justice in this life, they won't escape God's righteous justice. For those who fear God, this day will dawn with healing. This will be a day when they will greet the day with joy and trample the wicked whom God has destroyed underfoot. This is a call to the people to remember the laws and commands given to Moses at Horeb and obey them already. This is a call to repentance. The people are being shown mercy here as God calls them to repentance instead of just wiping them off the planet. Truly, they had the law. They did know what they were supposed to do. God's law is not subtle. It's very clear. Yet they disobeyed. And when they suffered the consequences, they disobeyed all the more. God had every right to justly destroy them, but it's not what he does. He reminds them of who he is. He reminds them of all that he has done. He reminds them of the relationship they have, and he offers them this rebuke and opportunity to repent. And look what's promised for them if and when they do repent. They will see restoration of family relationships and relationship with him. Those broken relationships, the dysfunction that has set in as everyone has done what was right for themselves, ignoring God's instruction manual, all of those harms will be healed as the people all look to God instead of themselves. And look too what is prophesied here. God will send Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. That messenger, that prophet, was John the Baptist. He was the messenger sent by God to warn the people that the day of the Lord was coming and they needed to repent. So we can see how, in a very real sense, John the Baptist was actually the last Old Testament prophet, sent with a specific, clear message from God calling the people to repent. And guess what? John's mission was successful. When he called the people to repent, many did just that. If they hadn't, God could have righteously annihilated all of creation. All of it. There's some imagery here that we need to unpack a bit. First of all, this short section mentions the law of Moses and the prophet Elijah. In doing that, God is basically summing up both the law and the prophets, which is the whole Old Testament, and demonstrating how both bear witness to the truth of the coming judgment. By reminding the people of those two things, God is saying, everything I've given you up until now, both the entirety of the law and all of the prophetical words I have given you demonstrate that this is all true. He's really summing up all of the Old Testament just by referencing those two men. The law showed the people clearly who God was and who they were and what was expected of them. It couldn't save them, but it showed them the holy, righteous God they were dealing with and helped them to see their need for the promised Savior. The prophets came to convict of sin and call to repentance. Both were necessary, and both were part of God's sovereign plan to redeem a people for himself, not just from among the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Secondly, when the destruction that God will bring comes, it will leave neither root nor branch, in verse 1. This is completely utter destruction, but the words used here point to another truth, because in Isaiah 11, 1 through 2, we see the following. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Davidic king, the promised Messiah, will come, and how is he referred to? As a branch whose roots will bear fruit. Also, we can look at Jeremiah 23, verses 5 through 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This prophecy, obviously, is one that cannot be fully fulfilled until Christ returns. Yet, also obviously, it is Christ that this prophecy is referring to. He is the one to reign wisely, to execute justice and righteousness in the land. Remember, when Jeremiah would have been prophesying this, was just before the exile. Israel hasn't had a king since that point. There will be no king until Christ returns for his bride. Verse 2 talks about the rising sun of righteousness, and that imagery shows the truth rising, the sun rising to shut out the dark and show what the truth really is. In that time, the faithful remnant of God will be vindicated for their faithfulness. They will be rewarded for holding fast amidst the persecution and suffering as God raises them up. For those who continue in their rebellion, however, that will be a day of judgment and condemnation that they won't be able to deny or escape. And then we have this weird thing about happy calves. Fattened calves are especially energetic. It's weird, yes, but it's true. If you don't believe me, go Google cows jumping for joy and see what I'm talking about. They look absolutely ridiculous, but you know what? They don't care. They are gleeful, gleeful cows. And on that day, when our Savior returns, we will happily look every bit as ridiculous as those gleeful calves, but we won't feel any shame or embarrassment, none, because we will be unable to contain our joy at our Savior's return. Here's the hardest part of this whole thing, in my opinion. Ladies, we must be patient and trust that God is who he says he is. God is good. God is just. God is righteous, and God will act. He will deal decisively and clearly with both the wicked and the righteous, and that should not leave us gleeful that the wicked will get what's coming to them. That should leave us with an urgent need to share the gospel with those who are lost. Malachi began with the reminder of God's electing love, and it ends with a threat of a curse. It seems kind of bleak, doesn't it? And guess what? God makes no apology for that, and so neither will I. Here's the one thing that we must realize. This is only bleak for those outside of God. This is only bleak for those who are not saved, who remain under his wrath. For those who are saved, this isn't bleak at all. This is ridiculous cows jumping about in glee kind of joy. This isn't horrible. It's wonderful, because we will be welcoming our Savior and saying goodbye to the pain of this world forever. So ladies, I can't improve upon God's word, not ever. And so as God ends the book of Malachi, I will follow his lead. Today, if you hear these words and know that you are not covered by Christ's blood, that your life is still exactly the same as it has always been, and there is no hatred for the sin in your life, please hear these words and know, just as God showed mercy on the Israelites in Malachi's time and called them to repent, that same call is there for you today to truly repent, to admit you are a sinner and you need a Savior, and to confess that He is Lord. God is patient, yes, but that patience will not endure forever. You aren't promised tomorrow, ladies. So if you are putting off addressing the sin in your life, please stop. Please stop putting it off. Take a good, hard look at yourself. Will you be a ridiculously delighted calf on the day of His return? Or will you be angry that the one you have tried to avoid all your earthly life, you can't avoid at the end of your life? For those who refuse the salvation of Christ, they will face His second coming when He rides out to bring judgment to unrepentant people. Don't presume upon His mercy one more day. Repent, submit to Him and to His will for life, for your life. Stop trying to do it all yourself. Come humbly and confess you are a sinner and confess you need Him. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and purify you from all unrighteousness. But if you refuse to repent, make no mistake, you will get justice, ladies. The day of the Lord is coming, although we do not know when. But on that day, the faithful will be vindicated. Will you be vindicated on that day? Or will you be given over to the burning oven to become stubble? May God grant you repentance today so that you will not have to pay what you justly owe. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website naomistable.com, Day 7, the Day of the Lord.